Well, good morning, church. I've been wanting to do this for 6 weeks. Yeah, thank you so much for being here this morning. I'll tell you what, it's such a blessing. We appreciate you being here, and I pray, as always, that you'll have a very meaningful, up-close, and personal worship experience with our Lord. For those of you who are listening in out there, God bless you. Thank you for being faithful on streaming on our website and listening in on Facebook. It's such a privilege to be back again. One of the things that we always want to do is to make sure that we're safe. That's incredibly important that we're safe. Thank you for the distancing. It's just hard to express at this particular point how good it feels and how good it looks to look out there and see bodies in the building. Thank you for that. For those of you listening, thank you. I have heard nothing but good things. Lots and lots of people have been on Facebook and on the streaming and listening to things along the line. And thanks for all the guys and girls who made that happen. In the meantime, we're going to continue to stream this. Lena Vista Baptist Church, FL.org, or on Facebook. Even though we're doing this live today, we're going to continue to stream it as well. You look down here, you'll see a camera and a speaker. We're working on it, making it work as best we can. By way of announcements, we are not going to have a service tonight, and we'll be in favor of you spending some time with your family. We'll be back on Wednesday night normal. Our service times on a regular basis are 10:45 on Sunday morning, 6 o'clock on Sunday night, 6 o'clock on Wednesday night as well. Food ministry, my friends, still going to be open Tuesday 8 to 10. If you need a box of food or you have friends who need boxes of food, we're here. And the Wednesday night meal and choir practice, I made this announcement every week. We're going to continue to leave that off until we get full clearance to do that. Leadership meeting was scheduled for today. That's going to be suspended as well. A couple of other things. In place of the offering being handed out by the plates, there's a box out there in the foyer if you need to put your tithe or your offering in that box. We feel willing to do that. And we have some things back there for you moms today, and we'll ask you to pick that up on the way out. I just appreciate you so much. It's exciting to see what God is going to continue to do here. So if you would, just join me for a moment of prayer. Lord, I want to thank you so much for this privilege today. Thank you for all those who managed to attend this morning, for all those who are listening in, Father, from wherever. May there be a special blessing upon their life, Lord. May this be a life-changing day. That we are the church is a wonderful thing. That means we can worship no matter where we are. And I thank you for everyone that's come out today. Speak to us up close and personal. I ask you, Lord, also to speak to me today, speak through me today. May your word be honestly and passionately spoken. May we lift you high so you're certainly worthy of all of our praise. We love you and we thank you for all you are and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Kenny. One more announcement, if I may. As most of you probably already know, we have contracted out our lawn care service for here at the church, and we're trying to go ahead and get rid of some of this equipment that we've had. And to stay within our bylaws, we have to notify everybody for 3 services in a row. We did it last week over the web, and we just want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity. You see the list of equipment and what we're asking for. There has been some interest already in the equipment. So sometime after next week, we'll go ahead and see who's going to get it, but I just wanted to make that announcement. Happy Mother's Day. Welcome back, and let's continue this service, and everybody stand and sing hymn number 328, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Rolling sea, higher than a fountain. sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater more than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to His uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, greater more than all my sin and shame. Higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater than for all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name, praise His name.
On the last now, sing out.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by His transforming power, making Him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, shame, oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
As the instruments continue to play, we're going to ask that this time that the deacons come up and have an opportunity. And if there's anybody here that would also like the opportunity to come forward and kneel and pray, please do so at this time.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this day and this privilege we have again to gather as a body of believers. Lord, this is just a building. The church is here now, and I just pray, Lord, as this body, as we get together again, we're whole again, and I just pray your blessings upon us. But Lord, as your word says in Chronicles, Lord, it said, if I shut up the heavens from rain and bring the locusts or the plagues upon the earth, that if my people who are called according by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their evil ways, I would hear from heaven and heal your land. So Lord, that's what we pray, that this disease would be gone, people would be protected from it, Lord, and especially your people meeting in churches throughout this country right now, Lord, are gathered together, that your Holy Spirit would be in this place protecting us. But Lord, also that preparing our hearts for worship, that we may come together truly to honor, to worship, and serve you. So again, everything that we do and say today, I pray would bring honor and glory to you. And as the preacher brings the message that you gave him, I pray that we would yield to the Holy Spirit whatever calling you have upon us, that if one here today doesn't know you, that today would be the day. Lord, I thank you for that, what you did on that cross, that we have that hope of eternity through Jesus' shed blood on that cross, that we have that hope to be with you forever. And we just give you praise for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Rick. Let's turn to hymn number 141. Very familiar song, The Old Rugged Cross. Sing to the King.
Mm-hmm.
Good singing this morning. Thank you. And before Brother Kenny comes and sing, Roxy's going to sing for us.
Valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to walk in beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. Day star, shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Let your word speak to me. Show me what I've never seen. Lord, I want to be your witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. Day star, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. Groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But when I see you standing near me, Lord, crying with compassion in your eyes, I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I want to be your witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. Day star, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Thank you. day star shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Happy Mother's Day! Well, that went over like a lead balloon. Come on now. We're in church. Let's go.
Amen.
Amen. We're not only the church, we are in the church building. Here to have ourselves a good time today, talking about the Lord and talking about one really special mother. If you brought your Bible with you, or if you're out there somewhere and you want to tune in, however the case might be, on your phone or whatever, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read quite a bit out of chapter 1. It's going to tell you another short story. As you all already know, I really enjoy sharing stories out of the Word of God. I believe Jesus used stories a lot to help make his points, and very few things are better than a short story. This is another one of those. So join with me if you would, and we'll just read through chapter 1 of the book of 1 Samuel. Now there was a certain man of Ramath of Zophim, somewhere like that, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year after year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved, and am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall be no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. She spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, that after Hannah had conceived and she bare a son, called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to ask you if you would just join me again in a word of prayer. Father, this is your word, Lord, and we have the privilege to read it. We have the opportunity, Lord, to understand it. So, Father, I pray very specifically this morning, open our eyes and our hearts and our ears, Lord, to your word. It is alive and well, and there is power here. Holy Spirit, I ask you this morning to make the word of God very real to all of those listening, whether present here, Lord, or somewhere else. Speak to us, Lord, all of us, up close and personal, that this might be a changing day in our lives, Father. I thank you, Lord, for all the mothers. Lord, put a wonderful blessing upon their life. Thank you for them and for all that they are and all that they have been and all that they're going to continue to be. May they be especially blessed today as we celebrate them on this that special day. So, Father, speak to me today. Speak through me today, Lord, that we might truly have a worship experience. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The name Hannah means gracious or graciousness or favor. And Hannah was the favorite wife of Elkanah. That sounds a little strange to us, I know. And a Levite who belonged to one of the most honorable families, basically in the priestly line of Jacob, the Kohathites. And what I want you to understand is that in this particular day and time, polygamy was common. It wasn't approved of God. It wasn't encouraged by God. You read Genesis 2:24, Malachi 2:15, and you understand that it was not God's intention whatsoever. But it was still very real. In the lives of Hebrew women, the one thing that they wanted to happen in their lifetime more than anything else was for they to have a male child. And it was more than just a dream. It was more than just a desire. It was extremely important in their well-being that they would have a son. And herein lies the difficulty in this passage of Scripture, because Elkanah had two wives. Peninnah was able to have children. Hannah was not. And it was a burden for her. It was a difficulty that she had to deal with for a good long time. We don't know much about Peninnah. We just simply know that she bore several children to Elkanah. We also know that she grieved Hannah a lot with her cruel tongue and her criticism, because Hannah was barren and did not have any children whatsoever. But I want you to hear this. Peninnah's quickly left behind in this passage of Scripture. There's not much ink spilled here about her life. We're introduced to her. We're told a little bit about who she was, about what she did. And then she's basically forgotten in this passage of Scripture. But her presence during that particular time when Hannah was there and she was childless, it became a real issue for Hannah. And what we're going to see here, and part of this message, the bigger part of this message, is I want to talk about the characteristics of Hannah. I want to tell you what kind of person she was as she's revealed to us here in the Scripture. You know, Hannah becomes the mother of Samuel, one of the greatest men of the Old Testament time. And he also bore three other sons and two daughters to Samuel, but it took a long time Elkanah, but it took a long time to get to that place. So what do we do when things aren't going well? What do we do when we want something so badly that we'd almost do anything to see that happen, and yet it hasn't happened? Have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for something to happen and waited and waited and waited and waited and trusted and trusted and trusted and on and on and on, and it didn't happen? What kind of things happen in your heart? What kind of things happen in your spirit? What kinds of things happen in your enthusiasm? What kinds of things happen in your enthusiasm and in your attitude? You know, there are moments when it's easy to set you and I off. There are moments when it takes a lot more. Some people are microwaves. Don't take much. And some people are crockpots. It takes a while. But bottom line is the results are the same. When you lose it, you lose it. When your attitude stinks, it stinks. Let's just be real here for a second. But Hannah has some wonderful characteristics in some times when she could have been other than what we are introduced to here. The Bible's portrait of Hannah paints her as one of the most notable Hebrew women that would ever have lived. Her attitude and her character and how she handled herself in the middle of this is incredible. We just read part of that story right here. You know, her life is an inspiration her life is a benediction for some sense of the word here. How so? You know, Hannah's a beautiful example of how the most unpleasant circumstances, the most undesirable circumstances, can produce a character blessed and being a huge blessing to the world. I'm sitting in one of my classes at Palm Beach Atlantic College, and I don't know what year it was. I'm not even sure what professor it was, but he asked us this question. He said, do people and circumstances make you what you are, or do they just reveal what you are? And I'm thinking, oh, that's probably two or three levels above my education. And think about that for just a moment. I want you to consider it. Do people and circumstances make you who you are, or do they just reveal who you are? And of course, for some of us freshmen, it's, oh, wait a minute, maybe it can do both. And yeah, I believe that it can probably do both, but I think the latter is probably the greater. I've known a lot of people who lived through a whole lot of difficult circumstances, and they came out on the other end stronger and better and more valuable in ministry than ever before. Lady in our Sunday school class at church at the mall, probably been 10 years ago now, made a statement in one of our classes that I thought was incredible. She said, every crisis in your life will either make you bitter or better, and the choice is yours. And I thought, wow, that's powerful, because they were going through a really tough time at that particular time, her and her husband were. And she brought that up in our Sunday school class, and I paid great attention to that whole process. What Hannah does for you and I as we read this story is she helps us to understand that circumstances can affect you, but ultimately you will choose what kind of person you're going to be. You will choose. It will reveal what's really floating around on the inside. We're pretty good sometimes about putting forth an image that we want folks to see. But there are moments when it gets just real. And what oozes out of us is difficult. It's like the question, you know, what do you get when you squeeze an orange? You know, most people are going to say orange juice. And that seems like a reasonable answer. But the real answer to that is you get whatever's inside. And that's what happens in a life as well. That's what makes Hannah such a great study, such a beautiful person on the inside and on the outside, because she responded, she didn't react. What when she got squeezed, what came out of her was grace and mercy and forgiveness and a deeper trust and a deeper walk. And moms, this is for you intentionally today. I want you to hear how this woman did what she had to do, what she chose to do. Her life is an encouragement to those who might be struggling in difficult circumstances today. Her life is pictured in the very beginning as very somber and very mournful. But at the end, it's radiant with faith and hope. And we'll share that as time permits us to do that. I think it's a fitting introduction to Samuel, whose life and ministry was a very real reflection of his mom. And one of the things that I think about too when I do have the privilege to do a Mother's Day or a Father's Day message is that many of us have learned a great deal from our moms. Many of us, the characteristics that we have, that we carry on in our life, the quality of our life has a lot to do with the time that we had with our moms. So today, ladies, make sure you understand you are loved, you are appreciated. We absolutely celebrate you at every level. You are the reason why many of us are believers. You are the reason why many of us are in church today. You are the reason why many of us have a life of faith, is because you never quit. First of all, I want us to look at Hannah's sanctity. She's painted as a woman, basically, with an unblemished character. We don't find anything in here that's negative. She's devoted to religious practices and religious duties of her people. Truly, she loved her Lord. And she lived for her Lord. Hannah was separated unto the Lord in the midst of trying circumstances here, domestic relationships. And she knew how to trust the Lord and to see her through this whole process. And if we learn anything from her, we learn to realize that if you're in the middle of a difficult circumstance and you claim to be a person of faith, the place that you look is not to your own abilities, not to your own wisdom and guidance, but you look to the Lord to give you the strength and the guidance and the wisdom and the direction and the discernment that you might not be able to provide on your own. The Bible says she cried day and night unto the Lord, and ultimately she was heard by him. Sometimes we pray a long time and we wonder if God's still listening or if he's ever listened. Testimony of the word of God is he misses nothing. He misses absolutely nothing. We're told that when he ascended into heaven, he took a seat at the right hand of God, and that he ever intercedes. Ever is a strong word. He ever intercedes for you and I, that in our worst times, not only just in our good times, but in our worst times, he becomes an advocate for us. He intercedes on our behalf. So Hannah cried day and night to the Lord. He heard her. She was heard by him. And she had that reverence and that awe for the Lord. And because of her godliness, because of her devotion, because of her trust and her patience and her self-sacrifice, the scripture says that God ultimately blessed her. And that lifestyle was very, very critical towards Samuel's growth. It was no easy task to live for years with a woman like Peninnah. No easy task. How would you do that? How would you retain your faith? How would you retain your focus? How would you continue to honor God if you lived in the house with another wife who simply made fun of you and criticized you and caused heartbreak for you on a regular basis, knowing how much she wanted a child? So her sanctity was one of those things to look at and be simply proud of. Second of all, her sorrow. While Hannah had a house, she didn't have a home. And I believe that that's true today as well. Some folks have a house, but they don't really have a home. It's very different. Every devout Jewish woman wanted children, and she wanted a home. And she didn't have either one of those. It's true that she had a very devout husband who absolutely loved her, who gave her gifts, who bestowed richer gifts for her than he did for Peninnah. But the problem was that she was childless, and no amount of gifts from her husband was going to make up for that void in her life. That hole there was not filled. There was nothing there to supply for her emptiness. Elkanah tries to comfort her. He tells her in verse 8 there, you know, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Wow. He's trying to figure out what's wrong. For my nickel, I think he knows. I think he knows, and he's doing the best that he can. But as the years went by, the heartbreak got worse, the hole got emptier, the agony became more intense, and her barrenness became a greater burden, and because of the jealousy and the heartlessness of her rival, her life was miserable to some degree. So here's what I thought about whenever I was preparing this whole process. How is it and why is it that some people can hold on to the path that they want to walk, that they should walk during difficult times, and others give up and turn away? How is it that this woman could hang in there with circumstances that she would never have chosen for herself, and still yet what we don't see here is any kind of criticism, and I'll get of her rival, but I'll get to that in just a minute. And here's what it came to me. Although the Lord had shut up her womb, the Lord had not shut her heart. Her heart was still wide open toward God. And can we walk that line? Can we be disappointed and frustrated on a daily basis and still walk the line that God has set before us? Can we still be people of faith? Can we still be people of trust, of honesty? Can we still serve the Lord in the middle of circumstances that we would never order for ourselves? Hannah tells us very clearly, yeah, we can. We can do that, but we have to want to. It's like so many other things in our life. We have to really want to. We have to want to be different. We have to want to be faithful. We have to want to have a confidence in God that irregardless. We talked about Joseph a little bit, and we'll talk about him next week as well. He trusted God in the worst of circumstances and situations. And it was that confidence that God knew exactly where he was and what was going on. He could place his trust in God, and he knew that God was going to see him through. Did it take a while? Yes. For Hannah, it took a while. It absolutely took a while. Her childlessness did not end at her first prayer. So the thing about it is that she never gave up. Although her womb was shut up, her heart toward God was not. And it made all the difference in the world. Nowhere, get this, nowhere do we read in this story where she retaliated against Peninnah. Nor did she ever retaliate against God. It says when she was praying there that she was a woman of a broken spirit and a broken heart. It did not say that she came in and stood in the corner and pointed her finger at God and wanted to know, why can't I have a child? That's not in her spirit. It's not shown in her spirit. She had not shut up her heart toward God. And I think that's an incredible character trait that you and I can learn from as well. You know, nowhere did she retaliate. Nowhere did she wish harm on Peninnah. Although Peninnah was ugly to her on a regular basis. And every comforting act of Elkanah, every time Elkanah was good to her, Peninnah would be bad to her. And she would resent her, and it became a real difficult issue for her. And this is the curse of polygamy in that particular culture. I mean, it shows up that way every time. The more Elkanah lavished Hannah with gifts and love, the more jealous Peninnah became. And we know jealousy's always really ugly. So how's she going to do this? Will only be by the strength that God gives her because of that relationship. I mean, it's fairly simple. We have to realize that we don't get to order all of the circumstances that come into our life, but we can choose deliberately to take those concerns to God, to be very real with Him. One of the greatest blessings of our life as Christians is that we can pour out what is inside of us to our Lord, and we can know that He absolutely understands. Third of all, it was her prayer. This was a humble prayer. A very, very humble prayer. She just simply told the Lord, you know, here's where I'm at. I still believe in you, but I really want a child. Her pain found a refuge in prayer rather than in anger and bitterness and difficulty. So, Mom, let me ask you, what do you do with your pain? Where do you take it? Who has the opportunity to help you out when you're in the middle of all of that? In God's house, she went and she petitioned humbly that the Lord would remove the reproach of her barrenness. And to that extent, if God would do this, listen to this. If God would grant her the prayer, she would give him back to the Lord all the days of her life and all the days of his life. And here's the kicker. She meant it. This was no cheap bargain that she was going to make with God. And when God gave her a child, she would back out. Her character would not allow that. Who she was would not allow that. She said to the Lord, if you'll give me this child, I'll give him back to you. Moms, your character is impeccable in the raising of your children. What we see in you is so imperative. It's so important. It's so valuable in developing their character. How you handle your pain, how you deal with the things that are disappointing to you, what kind of way that you talk to them and that you share with them. It's very valuable that they see God in your life. She told God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do that for you. And she meant it with every fiber of her being. Sometimes we'll tell God, you know, if you'll do this for me, I'll do that for you. And then we wind up failing in the middle of it. It's just part of what we do from time to time. No, she didn't pray for Peninnah's downfall. She simply prayed for herself that God would remove this sorrow. Now, friends, that's character right there. That's real character. She poured out her soul to the Lord, and he heard it. And here's the good thing. Our God can be touched by the infirmities and by the issues and by the troubles that you and I have. God can be touched. He can hear, and he does. So she poured out everything she had on the inside, and God heard. And it was very, very important. So she was praying, and she was calling it like it was. And Eli, the priest, was watching down around verse 13 to 14. He thought because her lips were moving and he didn't hear any sound that she's drunk. And he went to her and called her out on that. And her prayer was very, very personal. Although it was unspoken, it went right, I believe, to the throne of God. She'd said what she needed to say, but she said it very quietly. She said it very humbly. She said it very passionately to the Lord. And Eli the priest is sitting over there, and he thinks she's drunk. He goes over and tells her so. She defends her innocence, and she declares that in no way have I taken any kind of strong drink. I'm not drunk whatsoever, and in any way, form, or fashion. And then again, she pours out her heart to the Lord. And this time, Eli expressing, you know, who she was to the core, she says, I'm a woman of a very sorrowful spirit. And in her prayer, she didn't ask anything for herself. She asked that the Lord would just give that child to her, whom she would give back to him. There was no selfishness there in her spirit, no selfishness there in her desire to be what God would have wanted her to be. Now, here's a part of this passage that's a little bit of, I don't mind telling you, it's a bit of confusion to me because there's not enough here to help me understand it completely. Elkanah hears her prayer, or I see he watches her lips move, and she's praying very honestly. And when this is all said and done, he assures her that her prayer had been heard and that she should go ahead and go home in peace. And that was something that she did not have. I wish I could tell you how Eli knew that God was going to answer her prayer. And I stand before you today and just simply tell you, I don't know. There's not enough verses here that's going to help me understand how it was that Eli knew. But however it was, he knew. He didn't keep it to himself. He shared that with her. He said to her, your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. You can leave here joyful instead of sad. So she left that place, and there's a huge word here. She left content because she believed that God was hearing her and that she would be no longer sad, that she would be joyful, that the priest had told her, God hears your prayer. God's going to take care of the situation. So she goes back home joyful. Next thing we read that the child arrives. She names him Samuel, which means ask of the Lord. Now, passages that I did not read for you, I want to read for you in chapter 2. The fourth thing that we want to hear about is her song. This is what she does when she realizes that she's going to have a child. Look at chapter 2, the first 10 verses. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Get this, neither is there any rock like our God. Boy, is that powerful. You know, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. And they that were full have hired out themselves for bread. And they that were hungry cease, so that the barren hath borne seven. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them upon princes and to make them to inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. By strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. When she found out that she was going to have a child, that God had not only heard but answered her prayer, she broke into praise. There's so much here that we've had 3 hours, I wouldn't be able to explain all of it to you. But what I want you to understand is that she broke into song. When her desire was fulfilled, she breaks into song and into praise, and she pours out her faith and her greatness for God and the goodness of God. And folks, that's what we're supposed to be doing. When we have the privilege to come here, we can do that privately, yes. But we get that privilege to come here corporately. It ought to be easy for you and I to say amen. It ought to be easy for us to say, praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for not only hearing our prayer, but answering our prayer. Hannah tells us and shows us that it's the right time. You know, this song kind of resembles the one that Mary broke out in when Jesus was born. That's Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. It's powerful as well. She broke out in a great song of praise. So in this song, she speaks about several things. She speaks about power of God, holiness, knowledge, majesty, grace, praising God in every sentence. So when she found out that her prayer had not only been heard but answered, she broke into great praise. There's been times, and sadly enough in my own experience, that when God finally answered prayer, the response, well, you sure took your time. Shame on me. You know what I'm saying? Is God obligated to answer everything we ask for? No. And when he does, what ought to happen? Well, it's about time. Or thank you, Jesus. Thank you for hearing me. You know, that, we get that privilege. We do it in a song. We do it with fellowship. Even at 6 feet away, we still do it at fellowship. Okay? I get it. You can't kill the church. Not going to happen. So when Hannah prayed, the final thing was her sacrifice. When Hannah prayed and she promised, and when her prayer was answered, she quietly redeemed the promise. More than anything in the world, she'd wanted a son, and when God gave her one, she gave him back to the Lord. Here's what I'll do, God, if you'll do that. And she honored it, and I love that part of it. After he was weaned, she delivered him up to Eli, the priest, and the scripture says, there he abode forever at Shiloh. Once a year, she would go up there. She'd make him a little coat, and she'd go up there and for him to be able to wear that coat. And the reason I share this message with you this morning is what a picture of godliness, what a picture of sacrifice, what a picture of gratefulness to the Lord, what a picture of trust and faith and a life that would be, you know, anybody would be proud to have lived. She did this. And I'm going to say this because I believe it with all my heart. I believe that the excellency of a lot of men in this world is because of their mom, because of the relationship that they had with their mom. Maybe you're sitting here listening today and you say, well, that wasn't true in my house. I understand. And I'm sad. But for those of you who can look back, maybe you owe your salvation experience to the prayers of your mom or your grandmother. It's powerful. Women like Hannah encourages all of us, men, women alike, all of us, to trust God at the level where we realize that he knows what we need before we ever even need it. He knows what we're going to pray. Before the first word ever comes out of our mouth, he has lined up an answer to our prayer. No one is better fit to guide little children than moms. And today, it should be as every day that we honor them, that we revere them, that we praise them. For many of us in this building, our moms are gone into eternity. They stepped out. I share about my dad quite a bit. I share about my mom a little less. Loved them both. They set a great path for me to follow. And I don't believe that I would be here today doing what I'm doing today if it were not for the influence of my mom and my dad. I grew up in a Christian home. Not everybody does, and I get that. But if you can praise your mom, you know, do that. You know, many of us in this building today miss our moms, but we're worshiping because of they're like Hannah was. You know, so thanks, Mom, for doing what you do best. Thanks for doing what nobody else could do. Thanks for doing what God placed you on this earth to do. And to the sons and daughters who might be out there listening today, if you had a mom like that or you have a mom like that, don't miss those special moments. Don't miss those times that you might be frustrated and only realize that she was right and you were wrong. And make sure that you understand that the undying love that your mom has for you, and maybe if you have brothers or sisters as well, don't let that example pass you by. Don't miss what it is that God has for you in knowing your mom. And later on next month, we'll be aiming this same kind of thing at you dads. We have a privilege to be what God wants us to be and to realize that, wow, you know, there are some things that I can do. There are some things that I can teach. But nothing is more powerful than how we live. Because what you say is cheap sometimes, but what you do is priceless. It's all about doing, friends. This is what Hannah did. I want to close with something I got several years ago I thought was awesome. Whew, if I can read it. As you know, when God squeezes your heart, the water comes out your face. That might happen. If so, bear with me. This is called 1 Corinthians 13, for mothers. If I keep my house immaculately clean and am envied for all by my interior decorating, but I don't show any love to my family, I'm just another housewife. If I'm always producing lovely things, sewing and art, and if I always look attractive and I speak intelligently, but I'm not loving to my family, I'm nothing. If I'm busy in community affairs and I teach Sunday school and I drive in the carpool, but I fail to give adequate love to my family, I gain absolutely nothing. Because you see, love changes diapers and it cleans up messes and it ties shoes over and over and over again. Love is kind, although it might be tried and frazzled and tired. Love doesn't envy another woman whose children are spaced better or in school so she has time to pursue her own interests. Love doesn't try to impress others with their abilities and knowledge as a mother, and love just doesn't scream at the kids. Love doesn't feel cheated because I didn't get to do what I wanted to today, sew or read or soak in a hot tub, and love doesn't lose my temper very easily. Love doesn't assume that my children are being naughty just because their noise level is irritating. And love doesn't rejoice when other people's children misbehave and make mine look good. Love is genuinely happy when others are honored by their children. Powerful. So moms, let me challenge you today. Let me challenge you. Be what God designed for you to be. In this church, we could also say grandmas as well, because we got a bunch of them. Make a statement by how you live, about how important your Lord is to you. Make a statement by how you live that God is your rock, and that you have the privilege and the opportunity to be an example for your children, and that it's a wonderful and a good thing that can happen and should happen in your life. And know this, moms, we love you and we appreciate you, and you are so valuable and so important above and beyond what you might even realize or recognize. And shame on us if we don't say thank you and that we love you on a regular basis. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I don't have anything in common with Hannah whatsoever. And first of all, most of all, I certainly don't know the Lord that she's talking about. I don't have that kind of relationship. I've never had that kind of relationship. If you were to ask me today, if I died this next moment, would I go be with Jesus? I'm not sure I could tell you yes. Well, my friend, if that's your case, male or female, mom or dad, if you could say without reality, in a very real way, that if I died today, I don't know where I'm going to spend my eternity, I want to give you that privilege to change that opportunity. I want to give you that privilege to take the opportunity to change the situation that you find yourself in. And what I'm going to ask you to do, rather than a come forward invitation, because we want to continue to honor the social distancing thing, Billy's going to play a little bit of music for you here in just a minute. I'm going to pray a prayer for salvation. And if you mean it, if you're genuinely honest and you're sincere and you'd like to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to just pray this prayer after me, silently, word for word, and they'll ask you, Jesus, to come into your heart. If you want to pray during this invitation time, the altars are wide open. Don't hesitate whatsoever if you need to come down here and pray. I'm not going to meet with you here, but if you'll come down here and pray later, we can talk, and I'll continue to pray for you as well. But if you need to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you would ask him to do that today, would you pray this with me? Lord, I realize that I am absolutely lost. And I realize that if I died today, I don't know where I would spend my eternity, but I want to know. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior and that I can't save myself no matter how good I'm going to try to be. And Lord, I do believe that you are Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah. And I do believe that you shed your blood on that cross for me and anyone who would believe. And I do believe that right now in this moment. And Lord, I confess to you my sins, and I ask you for your forgiveness. I confess to you that I need you right now to be my Lord. And I receive you into my heart in this very moment. Lord, would you be my Savior today? I gladly accept you as my Savior. And I thank you for loving me. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today, my friends, and you prayed that prayer, let me know. Would you do that? Maybe if you're listening in on Facebook or through our website, if you prayed that prayer, let somebody know. Let somebody know right away. It's my privilege to pastor here. You can call me. I can be found. I would love to share with you this experience that you had and celebrate with you. If you have a home church somewhere else, let your pastor know. Let somebody know. Talk to your Sunday school teacher. Whatever you do, let somebody know that you prayed that prayer. Well, friends, listen, what a joy it is to be able to come to church today and have folks in the building as well. And we're going to look forward to when we can just open the doors up and not have to wear the masks and so forth. But wherever you are, God bless you for listening in. Well, ladies, we're going to ask you if you would, as you go out the back door there, I understand is the stuff's back there, Rick. There's gifts back there for you. Once again, the little box that's right there on the table. If you've had opportunity to put your tithe or your offering in there, if not, you can do that as well. As much as I despise the whole idea, I'm not going to go out there because I'm going to want to hug you. And I can't do that. So I'll do it from here. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll look forward to seeing you hopefully on Wednesday night. You enjoy Mother's Day. May it be a tremendous blessing.